Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. University of Alaska Regents have adopted an $831 million operating budget for the next fiscal year. The spending plan approved at a meeting in Fairbanks Friday includes $277 million from the state, a $25 million reduction from the current year. It reflects a three-year compact Regents signed with Governor Mike Dunleavy earlier this year that lays out $70 million in reductions to state support over 3 years, including $25 million less for FY 21 and 22, and a $20 million cut for FY 23. UA President Jim Johnson told Regents that means more administrative downsizing and academic program cuts.
And potential consolidations. Pursuant to the expedited program review process that each of our universities is conducting.
Johnson said it also means additional monetization of university assets.
Selling land, selling facilities.
Johnson also pointed to the need to spend to realize savings and efficiency in some areas.
In needed investment in our IT infrastructure and in leaner processes.
Johnson said the university is also looking at tuition, enrollment, and expansion of online programs, all part of what he described as an adaptive challenge.
How do we preserve and honor what is most core to our mission and our purpose for our students and the communities we serve while shedding what we must in order to adapt and survive and even thrive in a fast-changing economic and demographic and technological world?
The budget approved by Regents goes to Governor Dunleavy, who will submit his proposed FY 2021 spending plan next month. The legislature, which will take up the budget beginning in January, has the power of appropriation, and it's unclear if it will adhere to the UA spending levels lined out in the compact. A research group based at the University of Alaska Fairbanks has been teaming up with Arctic citizens to keep them abreast of changing conditions which affect both the animals they hunt and the ice they travel on. KOTZ's Wesley Early reports.
In Arctic communities like Kotzebue, subsistence hunters like Bobby Schaefer have had to contend with a changing climate for decades. Schaefer is in his 60s and describes himself as an elder in training. He views global warming as a big issue, and he said he's been involved in cataloging it since 2006, whether it's changes in sea ice thickness or migration patterns for marine mammals and fish. He says that these changes are here to stay.
We have to be prepared for this, and we have to evolve.
Since last winter, Schaefer has worked with the Alaska Arctic Observatory and Knowledge Hub, or AOK. AOK is a research group out of UAF that provides resources and information to Arctic communities to better inform them about changing sea ice, coastal waters, and wildlife in their areas. They partner with observers, like Schaefer, who go out on the ice to gather data. Donna Hauser is the science lead for AOK, who specializes in marine ecosystems. Subsistence hunting and ice safety are among the most prominent topics that AOK's research informs, and Hauser says that creating local partnerships has proven more fruitful than simply sending researchers up from Fairbanks.
If we can partner with local experts who have, you know, over generations learned how best to find the animals, who know when the animals are healthy.
AOK has observers in Kotzebue, Utqiagvik, Wales, Wainwright, Point Hope, and Kaktovik. Schaefer says that Kotzebue has two monitoring stations where observers catalog several factors.
We measure the snow load on that station. And the second thing, we measure the thickness of the ice twice a week.
When measuring the ice, observers also check the salinity of the water. Saltier water tends to freeze at lower temperatures, so hunters need to be sure they can safely navigate without fear of slipping through the ice. In the weather conditions of decades past, the monitoring stations could be set up earlier in the winter season, like November. Kotzebue has had one of its warmest years on record, and while it's had an effect on sea ice and subsisting, it's also affecting the monitoring equipment. Schaefer says last year's setup had to be bumped up to January for safety reasons, and this year's setup will likely follow suit. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough is closing four trash transfer sites next year: the Dale Road site near the Fairbanks International Airport and three sites along the Richardson Highway are closing as part of a downsizing effort to save hauling costs. A recommendation from the borough's major maintenance plan was to consolidate several sites into one to improve waste collection efficiency and reduce expenses. The stations at Dale Road, Moose Creek, and 30 Mile Richardson Highway will close on January 31st. A fourth site near Midway is scheduled to close next August after the borough completes expansion of the Salcha area transfer site. The borough sent letters to area residents advising them of the closures and about the locations of other area transfer sites where they can take their trash. Alaska is behind most states in developing a resilient power grid and incorporation of alternative energy sources. Balancing reliability, cost, and environmental impacts were topics of a recent panel discussion in Fairbanks. KUEC's Robin reports.
Alaska is handicapped right now by the way electricity is generated along the rail belt, according to Chris Rose. He's executive director of the Renewable Energy Alaska Project, or REAP. He addressed a crowded assembly room in Fairbanks last week as part of the speaker series hosted by REAP and the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition. Rose says the rail belt needs to reconfigure how electricity is generated. There are six electric utilities operating along the rail belt where most Alaskans live. They're physically connected, but they all operate independently.
We don't have any regional planning. We don't have regional interconnection standards for independent power producers. We don't have any regional reliability standards. We don't have a regional transmission tariff. These are all things that people have been talking about for some time.
In 2015, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska asked the utilities to work together on a plan for consolidating and prepare for increased demand for electricity. REAP has been working with the six utilities down the rail belt: Golden Valley Electric Association in Fairbanks, Matanuska Electric, Chugach Electric and Municipal Light and Power in Anchorage, Homer Electric, and the City of Seward. Rose says REAP has been working to make the generation and sharing of electricity among the rail belt utilities fair, with costs and risks spread out among the partners. Into the mix are renewables like wind and solar power generation, and bringing down barriers to independent power producers, your neighbors, for example, who might have solar panels or a windmill. Dave Messier, who is on the board of GVEA, says Golden Valley has the highest pollution emissions of all the rail belt utilities, mostly because it generates electricity from coal and oil. But it also has the biggest installation of renewable generation.
That's evidenced by the fact that we've got the largest wind project in the state, and we just put on the largest solar PV array in the state.
Messier says GVEA members are proud of the wind farm and the big solar array, and they are active as they show up at meetings to ask about changing from polluting fuels like coal and diesel, but they also ask for ways to reduce some of the highest utility rates in Alaska.
And we have some who have very strongly been calling for us to reduce carbon emissions at all costs anyway, and we've got another group of members who have been saying we can't afford our electric rates that we're currently paying.
Renewable energy generation like wind, solar, and heat pumps tend to reduce costs overall, but they're expensive in the short term. Rose says a green bank could be developed as a private sector financing mechanism for energy projects, but Alaska is still on the learning curve to develop the industry and the financing for it.
Banks really don't know this business yet. I mean, you didn't get a car loan the day after cars were invented. You know, they didn't understand how to do that.
The panelists agreed the business of renewables technology is booming, and if Alaskans can find ways to finance projects, renewables could become more common. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Longtime Fairbanks police officer and later radio personality J.B. Carnahan has died. According to Fairbanks Police Department Post, Carnahan joined City Police in 1970 and rose to rank of sergeant before retiring in 1989, after which he got into radio. Carnahan hosted morning programming at KIAK-FM. A celebration of life for J.B. Carnahan is scheduled for November 25th. I'm Dan Bross.